Coming up on today's show.
At our company, we had a few interns, and they had to do quite some crucial jobs, which, well, didn't work out. So I had to fire them and get other people, and then I realized, hey, interns cannot be like part of your core team.
Welcome to the show that helps you make this successful journey from founder to CEO. Hear from dynamic, inspiring, and successful founders as they share their insightful stories and practical tips that make becoming the CEO more fun, stress-free, and easier to build the company and life of your dreams. Now, please welcome your host, Todd Uderstadt.
Welcome back to the show that's dedicated to helping you become a better leader. In this episode, we have a great Dutch guest. He's a 24-year-old founding CEO who is successfully using laser technology to make airports safer, birds safer, and farmers happier. He'll share how he grew his company and what he learned about using interns to build his business. But before we get started with our great guest, let me introduce you to our sponsor, RecruiterBox. RecruiterBox is the easiest, fastest, and most efficient way to receive and manage job applications to your company. Check them out at RecruiterBox.com. Now, on with our interview. In the studio with us today is Steinar Henskes. Steinar founded Bird Control Group in 2012 and has been leading the company as CEO ever since. Bird Control Group keeps birds at a distance from commercial activities in more than 70 countries around the world. It's an animal-friendly solution that's even recognized by the World Wildlife Fund. With 14 people on the team and growing, Steinar recently became Student Entrepreneur of the Year through the Entrepreneur Organization. Steinar, it's great to have you on the show.
Thank you so much, Todd.
Well, Stein, I'm so excited because, as we discussed before we got started, I live in Cincinnati, Ohio, and you know, vast majority of the world's aircraft engines are made here in Cincinnati, Ohio. And I know that what you do gets them at GE Aircraft Engines very excited because they do not like birds coming in to their aircraft engines, right?
That's right, yeah.
So before we get started on explaining all what you do, we typically kick things off with your favorite powerful leadership quote that's guided your mindset and has helped fuel your company's success. But as you know, there's a twist. You have to sing it, rap it, or perform it in your best theatrical voice. And you know what? You can even do it in Dutch if you want, since you're in the Netherlands. The stage is yours, Steinar.
Thanks. Well, I choose for the last one, and I picked one from President Kennedy, actually, so I have to do it in English, I guess.
Okay.
But mine is as follows. Well, why climb the highest mountain? Or why go to the moon? We choose these goals, not because they're easy, but because they're hard. And because these goals will serve to organize and measure the best of our energies and skills.
Oh, Steinar, I've got goosebumps on my arms. That's a powerful quote. And you saying it with your Dutch accent makes it even more powerful.
Right, thanks.
So let's talk about what you do. I mean, I just get so excited about your mission. Number one, because it protects our wildlife. But number two, it protects people. So in your own words, what's the powerful promise of value of Bird Control Group?
What we do, we keep the birds a distance from the commercial activities. And by doing that, well, we reduce costs and we bring safety. That's basically what we do.
That's a powerful promise. And perhaps you might be able to explain a little bit for our founding CEOs in the audience about how you do that. I think it involves laser technology, correct?
That's right, yeah. What we did, we developed laser technology, which the birds perceive as a physical danger. So by moving it towards them, they get scared and they fly away. And it's the same reflex as a car that drives towards birds. So in that way, we can, control them and keep them a distance.
Wow, that's amazing. So just curious, I mean, you probably have cornered the market then around the world for almost every airport, right?
We're working on that. Aviation is indeed one of our markets we're active in. But we're also looking in oil and gas, for example, agriculture or industrial sites and factories.
Wow, that's right, because I hadn't thought about the fact that if you're growing a crop in a certain area, particularly if it's a cash crop, and you have thousands of birds descending upon it, then there goes the crop.
Exactly.
So what you do is better than using 100 scarecrows then, right?
That's right, yeah. Scarecrows lose their effectiveness over a couple of days' time, and that's not the case with the laser, so Yeah, we are special on that matter.
I love that. Well, you know, the old scarecrow probably loses effectiveness because it just stands there and the birds basically figure out that it's not going to come over and bother them all. So, you know, Steiner, this platform is all about kind of that journey from the founder role to the CEO role. And so help us understand kind of the starting story of you and Bird Control Group. How in the world did you ever come up with this idea?
Yeah, well, basically, I started off Bird Control Group on experience I had from the past. I used to run a small company, which is a distribution company of laser technology. So I sold existing laser products, and I did that for 2 years. And based on that experience, I knew that, well, certain types of laser light could actually make birds fly away. So I saw a big opportunity there. Now we're talking about the end of 2011. And, well, I started a small product development, I would say, and went on the market, sold my first products in 2012.
Wow. So you had experience with lasers beforehand, right?
That's right, yeah.
And so when did you discover that birds were not attracted, for example, to lasers? How did that happen?
That basically happened from one of the projects I did for a customer that involved a laser, a very particular laser outside I wanted to use for alignment purposes. And well, here in the Netherlands, we have quite some geese sitting in the farmland. And well, at nighttime, I shine the laser beam on those birds and they start to fly off. And I was like, hey, well, this can be quite interesting. So when I came back at the office, I started to do some research. And well, from that, I thought, okay, well, this could be something. This could actually, well, transform the business from being just a distribution company to making my own products, making our own brand, and really solving a problem.
Wow, so you just experimented with the laser on that field one day, and then you realized, wow, this works.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow, that reminds me of, I forget, who was it, the scientist who discovered antibiotics by the sandwich? He had mold on a sandwich, you know what I mean? It sounds just yeah. like incredible that you just had this idea that it might help. And so, you know, how did you grow the company? What type of financial approaches did you use? Did you bootstrap? Did you take venture capital? How'd that work out for you?
Well, I really took the lean startup approach, so I developed a very simple product and sold it to farmers because they were the easiest customers. Well, from the money I earned from that, we started to develop more and produce more, so really bootstrapping. Next to that, we also have a loan from the bank, and we have a few grants from the government for product development. So we're not really on that stage of venture capital yet. So yeah, really, I would say the typical Dutch way of growing a company, that's what we did.
I love that. Well, you know, the Dutch have a long history of making great things over the years and a great history of being merchants around the world. And so you're just carrying on that wonderful tradition.
Thanks.
And I also love the fact that you haven't taken venture capital yet, because it sounds like to me that you started selling first. And that's one of my big pet peeves is if you can start selling first and creating revenue as a founding CEO, do that first, right? Prove your concept by people actually buying things. And it sounds like the farmers really understood the value of what you provide.
Exactly, yeah. And from the farmers markets, farmers industry, we got into other industries like aviation. But that, of course, demanded a lot more from our products and from our company. So I'm very happy that actually came later instead of earlier.
Yeah, well, that's a wonderful story. I'm glad you shared that with us. But can you also share with us has there been a certain growth technique that's worked for Bird Control Group that you've used that's really have accelerated the growth of the company that maybe other founding CEOs can learn from?
Well, what I did, one trick I discovered afterwards was that if we had like a certain development project, we wanted to go from a product size from version 0.1 to version 1.0 or to 2.0, whatever. We usually, really in the beginning, I made a project which I outsourced to our main contractor. So basically, I paid for result. I say, okay, this is what we want to reach. These are the specifications. This is the amount of money we're going to pay. And now it's your responsibility to reach that goal. And for us, that was very helpful because then we were certain that we would reach a certain result. And then afterwards, we could take that technology, which the outsource company developed for us, and further develop it in-house. But then we already had like a version 1.0, which we were able to sell and go to market with, compared to hiring a lot of people to go from version zero, from just an idea to 1.0, and, you know, just paying for the effort and not be certain about the result.
Oh, fantastic. So, you know, I love what you said, because you didn't think the answer was just hiring employees. It was perfecting the product first by using some outsourced partners.
That's right. Yeah. And then for the future, I think, well, really the core technology, you should take it inside of the company, develop it yourself further on. But to really get to that goal of like being able to sell it, I think outsourcing is a good way, especially if you are on a tight budget.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, so, you know, as I mentioned before, this platform is all about that journey, that personal journey that founding CEOs like you take when you start a company and you become more and more the CEO. So one of the things that apparently everyone is interested in is, how do you spend your time now as a CEO? What do you focus on now? Everyone seems to be fascinated about this one question. So what do you spend your time on right now, Steinar?
Oh, yeah. Well, company-wise, I think I spend my time at hiring, marketing, strategy, and business development. And sometimes still a little bit of product development. I do have colleagues who are way more experienced on that, but that's how I spend my time. I work a lot. When I wake up with a company and I go to bed with a company.
Spoken like a true entrepreneur, right?
Yep.
So, you know, you mentioned that you're part also of the business development. I can imagine, for example, if you're talking with, you know, the folks who lead an airport, they probably want you to be there to discuss it with them, don't they?
Sometimes, yes. And I think I experience that I'm quite good at really getting the customer excited about what we do and making first contact. But I'm not very good at following up. So really the sales cycle and the sales funnel is not something I would want to manage. But I'm very good at making that first contact and, you know, hey, the CEO is here to speak with you. We make it a bit important, but here's my colleague who will follow up with you.
That's a great strength and great insight. And also it sounds like you're well aware of both your strengths and your limitations. So if you had to pick one leadership strength besides being at that first meeting with clients that you possess that has contributed the most to your success as a founder and CEO, what would you think that would be, Steinar?
I think it would be to inspire. And I mean to inspire my colleagues, partners, but also clients on, well, what is possible. Really, well, broadening their horizon, broadening their world.
So that's a pretty big skill to inspire. And I know you can inspire people in several languages. Don't you speak like four languages?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do.
So you speak, of course, English, Dutch, and what are the two other ones?
French and German.
French and German, yes.
Just very, very elementary.
That's fantastic. Well, when we come back from the break, we're going to take a look at what you think your biggest struggle has been as you've become more and more of a CEO of Bird Control Group. Does that sound good?
Yeah, totally fine. Perfect.
All right. So when we come back from the break. Hey, it's Todd. If there's one thing I hear from founding CEOs all the time, it's that you are extremely busy. So my team pulled together 63 productivity hacks from 50 top founding CEOs like you and designed a beautiful PDF for you to get some quick wins getting more productivity from your day and your team. Team management, data management, project management, marketing management tips, and more are in this great guide. So go grab it now on our homepage at fromfoundertoceo.com and just get more done. So we're back from the break and we are with Steinar, and he's the CEO of Bird Control Group, an amazing company that uses technology that helps make sure that birds don't impact farmers and airports and really those types of organizations where birds can get in the way of the mission without hurting the birds, which is the part I really like too, Steinar. So on this road from founder to CEO, we all encounter some bumps in the road and we kind of learn some things about ourselves, particularly as it relates to management and leadership issues. So Steinar, what do you think you've personally struggled with as you've become the CEO of Bird Control Group?
Well, basically in the beginning, what was very difficult for me was to get the right people on board on the team. I made some good hirings, some bad hirings, and I actually learned by doing that you should really aim for the best and do not compromise. If you do not have the right feeling or you're not sure about the fit with a person, don't go for best of the weakest. Just aim for the best. Because in the beginning, I made quite some mistakes with hiring people who were not very competent of doing the job. So I had to fire them. And well, right now I realized, okay, well, good people, they deserve a good salary. They cost a lot, but in return, they will definitely bring value.
So what was it about in the beginning, Steinar, do you think? I mean, did you not necessarily know how to assess someone for competence? Is that what the issue was?
Yes, that was one of the issues. And I basically gave too much responsibility to the people who were not up to the job.
Yeah.
So at our company, we had a few interns and they had to do quite some crucial jobs, which, well, didn't work out. So I had to fire them and get other people. And then I realized, hey, interns cannot be like part of your core team. They're, with all due respect, but they're interns and they should have like a project to finish. And they should not be able to mess up the whole operation of the company.
Steinar, that's a huge insight that I think a lot of founding CEOs need to hear, because, you know, we all think of interns as kind of, you know, free labor. We can use them to help kind of accelerate the development of our company. But to your point, I mean, you really can't hold them accountable for some key areas of success in your company, because, well, first of all, they're only there for a short time period, right? And second of all, their level of experience may not be as high as you might expect from an employee that you can hire with a lot of competence. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, exactly. I think interns are great in order to learn the person who is doing the internship, and maybe you get the right fit and you can give them like a real job. But for an internship, you should make like a project which is not part of your core operation of the whole company, and hope for the best at least, because you cannot really expect so much of them.
Yeah, that's. I'm so glad we had this discussion, because I'm not so sure we've had this discussion with anyone else before yet. And it's a really key insight, because, you know, I think we use interns both throughout the world, in Europe and United States and in Asia, and it's a pretty big insight. Well, you know, sometimes these struggles that we have when we learn leadership issues, sometimes we have also failures along the way, and sometimes things just happen. So I'm wondering, on your journey from founder to CEO, maybe do you have one story of failure that you've experienced so far, and how did you recover from it, and what did you learn from it?
Well, I would say it wasn't real. It was almost a couple of times a failure. But what I realized is that when you are successful as a company, people start to come get to you and they want like a piece of the pie. they want like bonuses or stock options or whatever, you know. They want to have a piece of the value, which is great, because I think if people are very essential to you or your team, well, they would deserve it. But the toughest decision is like, who is the essential person and who's that key partner which deserves this and who needs this, and what is the reasons for giving him the piece of the pie. So I had like two or three times, I think, people came over who were like employees or external partners who were having that conversation with me. Okay, I want to have that piece of the pie. And I realized, okay, I'm very happy I didn't give them any piece, but afterwards I realized it's not good if they are starting that conversation too early by themselves. And you should have it very clearly for yourself, why would you share a piece of the pie? And for me, that's really to commit people for a longer period of time. But yeah, I had two to three occasions where I almost went on the wrong direction and started to give stock to somebody or a company who didn't deserve it.
Oh, wow. That's a powerful story. Thank you for sharing that. And I think everyone struggles with that, particularly, you know, there's these key moments in time where all of us, and I know I've experienced this too, where, you know, kind of the company is still not quite established yet, and you want to make sure you retain those key people, and you might give in a weak moment when they're kind of pressuring you for that, but then you end up maybe regretting it later on when you've given away so much of your company.
Exactly. So you should explore your options beforehand and definitely talk also with other people about, well, that person or that partner who potentially is interested in the stocks, and do not make the decision too soon. Really take the time for making the decision if it's right or wrong.
Absolutely. Well, you know, despite some of these challenges we'd experienced, and I appreciate you sharing that particular insight. You know, you wouldn't be here today if you didn't have some tremendous leadership strengths that are organic to you and that you develop over the course of time, and put good resources to you. So are you ready for the rapid resource roundup, where I ask you some key questions about resources that have contributed to your success as a founder and CEO?
Yeah, perfect.
All right, here we go. So what's your favorite software for enhancing your productivity as a CEO?
I use a lot of time, I use Trello, and I also use a lot of the labels in Google Mail, especially when I work together with my PA. She manages the labels, and I know which label to open and which not.
Nice. Love Trello, and that's a great tip with the labels. Great one. What about a daily habit that you believe contributes to your success as CEO?
Well, that's one thing I would say, like, daily, it's my breakfast, because lunchtime is not always there, lunch can be throughout the day or whatever. So a good solid breakfast is very important for me to make it throughout the day.
So you got to let us know, because a lot of our audience lives in America, and not a lot of Americans eat a quality breakfast. So what do you eat for breakfast?
I take oatmeal.
Oatmeal. All right. Is it European oatmeal or is it American oatmeal?
Not sure, actually. I think
Well, if it's from America, it might be GMO. So you might want to check on that. Oatmeal, that's a good one. What about this? What one delegation technique that has helped you become a better CEO?
Well, I would think in terms of delegating is giving people the trust and I think the responsibility for them to really take on the job and they feel confident of doing it. Yeah, I think that's important before you delegate anything to them.
Trust. It's huge, isn't it? So do you extend trust first and then people have to prove themselves, or do you kind of hold people accountable and they have to kind of prove themselves along the way?
I think they have to prove themselves. And if I got, it's really like more of a feeling than you can, than that something you could think of with your mind.
Yeah.
And if I got like the right feeling, people are up to the job, I think, yeah, that they get a lot of responsibility at our company. But if they mess up a couple of times, then yeah, their responsibility is down to zero.
Gotcha.
That's basically what's happening.
Well, what about one CEO question that you frequently ask people on your team that produces powerful, productive results for them? Is there a question that you use that worked really well?
Well, for example, if somebody is going to deliver a project or as a task to do, I always ask, okay, yeah, what do you think yourself of your result? Because otherwise it's only like complying to my ideas and to what I want instead of them thinking for themselves and having their own opinion. And I think it's very important that they can reflect and give feedback on their own work instead of it's just the boss having an opinion.
I love that. Steiner, how old are you?
I'm 24.
You're 24. You know, you have wisdom beyond your years, because I think a lot of very experienced CEOs struggle with what you just said, because they're so interested in giving their opinion. But what you just said is, hey, no, I want to know what their opinion is first, right? And that's huge. And you've learned that at a very young age. So kudos to you. But you are Dutch. So, you know, we recognize that you probably do a much better job at that than the average person. What about a single best piece of meeting advice that results in truly effective meetings for you and your team? Do you have some?
Oh yeah, meetings. We're quite struggling with that, especially with this amount of employees. Some people say it's manageable. Some people think, hey, it's not manageable anymore. But what I learned, okay, we should kept the time and prepare an agenda, and then we kind of have an effective meeting, but it's still so difficult to have like an effective meeting.
Yeah. So your tip is make sure you have an agenda and make sure you stick to the time that you've allotted.
Yeah, exactly. Because otherwise it can get endless and you end up having a meeting for the rest of the day.
Oh, I know. I hate those myself. Well, what about a favorite business book or magazine or blog or podcast that you really like to read or listen to? Do you have one of those?
Yeah. Lately, I read a book called Venture Deals from Brad Feld.
Yes.
And I thought that's just a very easy to read, comprehensive guide to the world of venture capital. It's full of suggestions and tips on how to cope with certain things. And it made sure, in my opinion, that if you're ever going to talk to venture capitals or any investors, you know what you're going to talk about. Because if you don't know what you're going to talk about, then yeah, that's a very big risk.
Absolutely. And Brad Feld, who is one of the authors of that book, was on our podcast a few weeks ago. He's a podcast 046. So those of you who are listening, you want to learn more about Brad and his books, it's a great podcast to listen to. Well, so as we head to the home stretch of the interview, Steiner, got one final question for you. What's one thing that you wish Steiner, the CEO, could have gone back in time and told Steiner, the founder, to do differently?
I think delegate more and only hire the best.
Yeah, sounds like that's a big one for you because you mentioned that before. And I know that's a big one for a lot of startup CEOs, and particularly maybe ones like you where you're a little bit younger. And as you get older, you have more experience about people and you see the full spectrum of humanity, the good, the bad, and the great, right?
Exactly.
So before we get ready to say goodbye, what's one thing that's exciting you now about Bird Control Group? Something really, really cool. Is there one thing that's exciting you?
Yeah, what excites me is the positive impact we have in the world. Last week I was in Sudan in Africa, and we gave training to the airport. And since it's Africa, they still have to learn a lot, but they're very eager to learn. And therefore we were really able to make a difference at the airport. And that was very cool.
Well, Steiner, that's a great story. And I just love what you're doing, the way you're doing it. You're protecting both our wildlife and people's lives together. And it proves that you can do good things and still make a profit, right?
Thanks. That's right.
So you've been so generous with your time and wisdom. You know, what's the best way for other founding CEOs to connect with you and learn more about Bird Control Group?
Well, they can find me on Twitter, Steinar Finn, or they can check me on LinkedIn, which is my full name is Steiner Henskies. And of course, Bird Control Group also as a website at birdcontrolgroup.com.
Fantastic. Well, we wish you and Bird Control Group continued success, Steiner. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, Todd. It was lovely. Thank you so much.
Well, I hope you enjoyed today's interview with Steinar Henskies and you were able to take away some practical tips to help you become a better leader. I'd also like to thank our sponsor, RecruiterBox. The team at RecruiterBox makes recruiting and hiring a lot easier, faster, and certainly more efficient. Check them out at RecruiterBox.com. They've got a completely free trial. Until next time, peace and prosperity to you and your team.